The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 463. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brian Monjome.
What up, what up?
All right, you're stuck with us for tonight. We don't know what's going on with Adam and Brett and Chris need some time off, so... this is most of like the old crew, even though I think Brett is like older crew than you though, Carlos.
Oh yeah.
And Adam, Brett, is, yeah. Adam's the newest guy.
Yeah. So you, so Carlos, you are standing in for Riku-san right now.
And Brian and I being the oldest members of Throwdown, you know, we were the originals, along with Riku and Heart Jess. Shout out to Heart Jess. We haven't heard from her.
What has she been up to?
I haven't talked to her in years.
That's a name I haven't learned. And there's also
another one, the person that actually came up with Throwdown, not the name, but the podcast, but we shall not speak of him, you know?
Oh.
By the way, I'm not, you know what? I'll say it after the show. Anyway, we're back with another one. So, as we told you last week, this is the last normal show of the year where we're going to be covering the news. Next week will be the Game of the Year roast that we do every single year. I'm just going to call it a roast. That's what we do. We're going to have Richard Bailey Jr. join us, and I'm going to hit up David Gilton, and he always joins us for those live streams. So hit him
We have the usual crew there goofing on the Game Awards.
Game Awards, yeah. If I could coax Taylor Lyles to show up, maybe, who knows?
Oh, yeah, you know? But then again, how's she been?
Well, you know, Taylor's big time. Remember, last year she was actually at the awards, you know?
Yep.
But Taylor's still family regardless, you know, shout out to her.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
So, yeah, so next week will be the roast, you know, of the Game Awards live roast. And then the week after that will be the year-end special where we go over all the biggest news, the biggest games of 2023. It'll be crazy. And then obviously the final episode of Throwdown for the year will be the AMA special, you know, so stay tuned for that.
It's crazy. Seems like it went so fast.
I was going to ask you about that, like off topic. I can't tell if this year went by normal or fast. It felt like a normal year to me. Like, you know how like 2020, 2021 were weird? Like this year didn't feel weird to me. It's like I was mostly doing the normal things I would have done before all this COVID nonsense happened, you know?
No, I mean, like, you know why I say it's fast? Because it's just like how many things at least I did this year. I felt like that's why it seems like it was so fast. It's like there's just so many things that were in between the beginning of the year and now.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting one, you know?
You know what?
And hey, I got a PlayStation 5.
Hey, there you go. See, I'm kind of the opposite for the same reason. Because I did so much stuff, it felt like a long year, you know? So kind of interesting. Hey, there's Brett.
Sup, Mr. Murdoch?
What up?
Hey, Brett, so... this is completely off topic, but we just started the show, by the way. How did the year go for you so far? Did it feel like it went fast or slow? Because Manny says it went fast for him. For me, it felt slow. But our reason was the same because we both did a lot of stuff. But I would say this year felt the most normal because, like, obviously 2020, 2021 were weird years. This year felt normal. How did it feel like to you?
You know, it sounds like kind of a cop-out answer, but I guess like kind of in between, like for the same reason that you just said, though, like this year finally felt like normal. It didn't feel fast or slow. This felt like a year was kind of more supposed to feel.
Yeah.
And on a personal level, it's probably just because like, you know, it's been like a long cycle of like trauma, more trauma and trauma on top of that. So like getting a few years out from that, like my life is kind of normalizing a little bit. So just kind of like, hey, I'm not like, because, you know, like time does weird shit when you go through like PTSD or trauma, shit like that. Like it compresses and then expands, but like not consistently. Like that's the thing. Like one day we'll
Brett,
be. Yo.
Not to get into personal things. Do you feel like that this year at least felt like a year that you could at least feel like you could breathe?
Yes, exactly.
Same here.
I was about to say, Manny, yeah. I know you felt that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, on my end, it was like, oh, it was normal. I was going to events again. I was flying to places again, going hanging out with friends again.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, it was a normal year. I'm like, cool. I haven't had one of those since 2019, you know? But good stuff. But we'll reminisce more, you know, at the year's end. Anyway, let's get into some news, man. And no surprise, very Xbox-centric again because of an interview, I think it was a CFO made, quote-unquote, very controversial statements were made. Well, not really controversial, but, you know, fanboys will be fanboys, you know? You know how that goes. But I want to talk about some things that he did bring up. He talked about, you know, I'm not going to get into the whole AI stuff again. That always gets too contentious on here. But he does say that he wants that to, you know, do NPC shit, whatever. He did say, here's what interests us. He said that Xbox's success should not be measured by console sales. It should be measured by revenue. And I agree with that. But I'm like, can we know how much money you're making? Because I was thinking about this a lot. I was like, okay, if we can't use normal metrics anymore for Xbox, we can't use game sales, can't use console sales. The only thing we have is how much money they bring in, right? And that's fine. As long as I know or we are, at least if we could get third-party verification of this, that'd be great. But I would accept that as a metric, you know? And apparently, like, yes, console sales are down, but Xbox subscriptions are up. And I think that's their ultimate play anyway, you know? So in that sense, you could consider it successful. You know, it's just, again, it's frustrating because I like the old ways, but Microsoft isn't playing by the old ways anymore, you know?
But, I mean, also the thing about it is, like, again, like, you're choosing success where it's, like, they're lowering their operation costs, right? And, like, they just literally got through firing a shitload of people in the Xbox division. And, all, you know, all, so, I mean, like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're doing good compared to your operation costs, but you literally got rid of a bunch of folks.
Yeah. To be fair, everybody got rid of a lot of folks this year. That's something we're going to bring up, you know, obviously during the year-end special, but this was a bloodbath year, you know, when it comes to that. I want to read a quote here when it comes to kind of where Microsoft's at, or Xbox, excuse me. That means smart TVs. That means mobile devices. That means we would have thought as competitors in the past, like PlayStation and Nintendo. We're going to NVIDIA's GeForce now, their gaming subscription service. So they're saying PlayStation and Nintendo are not really our competitors anymore. It's the subscription services. It's mobile devices, you know, which is interesting, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that is their direct competitor. But, you know, the thing about it is that out of all of those different services, they're the only ones that offer what they really offer.
Yeah.
You know?
That's all bullshit.
Uh-oh, what's up?
I mean, yeah, kind of, but like, call a spade, man. If you're trying to break into a service where, like, you're a service across multiple platforms, then your competitor is Steam. Say it with your whole chest.
Okay.
Like,
that is true.
Like, and the fact that you don't say that you don't point that out, shows me that, like, you're being at least kind of, like, and maybe this is just standard level dishonesty with investors. Like, that just kind of seems to be the fucking normal world we live in, I guess. But, like, yeah. I don't, either you're misidentifying or you're misspeaking. It's one of the two.
Yeah. So
I mean, to be honest, like if it, in general, their competition was always Steam. In fact, it was so like it literally. What I don't know how their Microsoft store is, but I remember the demand made everybody, you know, made them essentially start offering stuff on Steam. Remember, there was a point they were just offering their games on their own Microsoft service before.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brett.
I was just agreeing.
Yeah. So yeah. So basically, they're saying they think that, you know, mobile GeForce Now is their main competitor. But I agree with you. It's like, guys, it's Valve. That's who you're really trying to go after. You know, if you're going for like pure digital sales, that's who it is. You know, but yeah, you know, they don't want to say it.
Yeah. If you're going for a you're wrong. Like, I think there are some similarities between a streaming service, but I think like they have more in common with Steam than they do Netflix.
Yeah.
At least kind of how it stands.
Yeah. Let me read some of this other stuff here. Success for us is we can keep growing that content and services revenue double digits. If we can grow faster than the market is growing, we are taking share in the gaming market. And that's where we want to be. It's a $250 billion market. We are not $250 billion. Early on, we walked into Satya's office, Satya Nadella. Phil Spencer, who runs Xbox, and I, we had both taken our jobs about the same time. We've known each other for a decade before that. We're like, let's go do this gaming thing. We walk into Satya's office. Hey, we're going to spend $2.5 billion on this thing called Minecraft. Jokingly, he says, a blocky game, you chop trees down, $2.5 billion for this thing. It turns out to be one of the best acquisitions ever made. So he's justifying the exact acquisitions they've made. By the way, the reason this may sound a little weird is because this is a transcription of what he said in a live interview. And, you know, when you speak, you're not speaking perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so he's basically justifying all that, you know, the acquisitions they've made or whatever to bolster their you know, coffers. And obviously, Minecraft's been very lucrative for them, you know.
Well, it's always good to have those strong things that just continue to generate money, you know, end over end, you know.
Okay, but again, like what is it? Are you in like? You don't get to like pick and choose what industry you're in depending on what light you're standing and what angle you're standing from. Like, number one, you don't really get to, like, investors get to choose what industry you're technically part of, and consumers do. Like, you don't get to be like, Nintendo be like, oh no, we're Nintendo. We do something completely different. Shut the fuck up. You make video games. Right? Like, and I think the people that would be able to make the distinction would be like, I don't know, here on this fucking panel. So, like, I think we can all kind of tell, like, It's kind of bullshit. Like you may want to separate yourself, but at the end of the day, like we're all talking still about video games, right? We're still talking about the same video game industry. Like the same way, like you'd be like, well, technically, mobile gaming is part of the video game industry. Yeah, except for the fact that nobody sees it that way. Developers, investors, customers, literally nobody does, and that's why people can stand there and just yell it for fucking ever, and it still hasn't caught on because that's not. I mean, it may be technically the truth, but it's not the truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, investors do see it that way, you know? But you're right. Like the actual, again, Brett, I always go back to that story you told me where you had a customer, right? He was playing a mobile game on his phone. You showed him a Switch, a proper gaming console, handheld, and he was like, no, I'd rather play this. It's a very different mentality that mobile gamers have. And this is why I think it's been difficult to make that transition to like mobile gamers be like, hey, I'm going to play Xbox Game Pass on my phone. It's a different like customer base, you know?
I mean, like, and I get it, but like, I have to think internally they at least kind of know what they're doing, and then there's this spin on like how they're pushing it to investors and PR speakers. Like I think we all know exactly what they're doing. They want to get an edge and a leg into the gaming industry that they've lost so much goddamn market share, and the way they're doing that is by kind of like cutting and trying to get ahead of where they see the future of that industry being and supplanting themselves there firmly, so that by the time that their competitors get there, they have a larger market share. It's a solid strategy, but to say that it's anything other than trying to gain market share in the existing games industry is, again, like, borderline disingenuous. Right? Like, you may be like, oh, we're getting off the freeway to, you know, we're still going to, I don't know, fucking Walmart or whatever the fuck, but we're getting off the freeway. Like, okay, but we're still going to the same goddamn place, right? Like, you'd be like, oh, we were going to Walmart, but now we're getting off the freeway. Well, we're still going to fucking Walmart, right? Like, your idea is that we're still getting to the same goddamn place. You're just going to get us there sooner, right? It's not different. And to act like it is seems fucking weird to me. Like, I feel like I'm the only person, but like, this, like, we all know this, Right? Like, so why are we acting like we don't? Why can they? I mean, and I guess they have said as many words as, like, this is going to be the future of the industry as we see it, and we're trying to get there first. Why not just fucking say that?
Yeah, maybe they should. What else was I going to? I'm looking at the chat right now. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing I wanted to bring up. The whole thing with mobile gaming and all that, it also works the other way around, too. Just how that customer set looked at the Switch and was like, I don't want to play that. If you put a mobile game in front of me, I'm like, get that shit out of my fucking face. You know, it also works that way around too, you know?
I mean, it does. So, like, this is the reason I'm hot on this point particularly today is, like, I read an interview from Bob Iger at Disney, and I realize this is kind of a side tangent, but
not to cut you off, Brett, I just want to say it before I just say it in the middle of your speech. Bob Iger's a fucking idiot. Anyway, go on.
And a liar. Like, he and Jim must golf on the weekends. All right. So, basically, him saying, basically, talking about, like, how Disney is taking this huge fucking loss right now and how they're adjusting and they're cleaning house and they're going to start focusing on quality as opposed to quantity. And he was coming out there and wanted all the investors to know that this was the direction and the focus that Disney had. But here's the fucking thing. You can go back to 2020 and hear him say the exact same fucking words before they then watered down all of their brands with terrible writing, awful scripts, and bad brand ambassadoring.
It became quantity over quality because they wanted to fill in that because they literally rushed everything to TV. They had all these goofy products that they put out at the time.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, when he said that to investors in 2020, like, was he being honest? Did it fucking matter? Because it was a bald-faced fucking lie. And that's kind of where we stand with a lot of these things. Like, you don't honestly have to be truthful to investors. There's not really, I mean, there are laws against it, but, like, nobody really like care unless it's just straight up fraud.
Nobody ever holds them to these things unless they're making something, right?
Like, yeah.
But by the way, I'm over here trying to control my anger. Because, Brett, by the way, it seems you and I watch the same YouTube channels. I saw that. Somebody pulled up he says this, Bob Iger says this, a day ago, we're going to focus on quality over quantity. Then the screenshot shows the same verbiage from 3 years ago. What the hell have you been doing for 3 years, man? Oh, I'll tell you what you've been doing. You've been ruining your fucking company. Now, I know this is a video game podcast, but I need to go off about this, right? There was a point in time where we were like, shit, Disney's taking over the fucking world. They're gobbling up everything. They're indestructible. Now we're like, fuck, Disney's done. We even heard reports about apparently Disney wanting to sell off some of its properties just to make money back. So I'm like, wow, you guys pulled a Pan Am, didn't you? Remember when Pan Am was the most, like, undisputed, you know, like, airline on earth? And then within a fucking year, they were gone, you know, because of because of stupid mistakes. Disney's doing the same fucking thing by releasing these dumbass, I'm not going to say the word, the W word, these W movies that are just shit. You know, that nobody cares about. Now you got to the point where, okay, here's the thing. You lost the regular fans, us. Then you lost the people who really bring you money. You lost the normies. They stopped giving a shit about your fucking dumbass movies, you know?
Yeah, and now you don't have us to evangelize the normies anymore.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm getting spit all over my screen right now how mad I am, you know?
Okay, but like, this, like, this is a great point. Like, this is the relationship with truth that a lot of high executives have with shareholders. So, like, you'll have to excuse me if I take, like, a giant fucking grain of salt with all of this when they're like, oh, no, this is a different industry. We really believe that. We're not competing with other people who sell video games. That's just silly. Like, okay, yeah, I mean, apparently we're all just going to pretend these people aren't lying through their fucking teeth because that's just a Tuesday.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, real quick, Jay Shep. Yes, Bob Iger did leave Disney, right? They had Chapek, and then they got rid of Chapek and brought Bob Iger back. And they haven't learned their lesson. and they haven't learned their lesson.
They keep doubling down on poor decisions. They're like, hey, you know this person that made, what was it, the Doctor Strange fucking Universe of Madness or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Multiverse of Madness. They were talking to, what's the Olsen, which Olsen sister is it?
I always get this Elizabeth. Just say Scarlet Witch.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Scarlet Witch was basically saying, when they were proposing the script, she's like, you know what we're doing in WandaVision, right? Because it sounds like a lot like what we're doing in WandaVision. And they had no idea what they were doing in WandaVision.
No, they didn't. By the way, and Brett, I know you saw what your boy Taika Waititi said, right? Did you see what he said?
Yeah.
Okay, I know, Brett, you're a comics guy. I know you couldn't defend that shit either. You know?
No. I'm just like, what? I'm kind of the mindset of like, that's Taika Waititi, man. Like, why were you trying to give him this type of franchise?
And that's the point I wanted to make. I'm not against Taika Waititi. I'm against hiring him for this. He literally said, this character's stupid. I only did this for the money. He said this. He admitted it.
How is
someone like that gonna bring an accurate representation of any character? And then you have this fucking woman. You know what? Let me stop. Because now we're going off on Disney right now. I could do a whole podcast.
We're going into old throwdown days.
Yeah, right we are. Anyway,
you got a little bit of taste of those days.
Bring it back to Xbox.
Yeah.
Yes, everything that Brett, I'm with you 100%. And by the way, people in the chat, by the way, I hope that you fully understand that Brett is here criticizing Xbox.
They won't catch that.
Yeah, no, it's just had to throw that out there. But no, I agree with you. It's company bullshit. It's like, just you know what you're doing. Just say it, you know?
That's the thing. Like, the thing is, if they did say, you still, as a company, or as a publicly traded company, you still don't want to ruffle the feathers of the investors, and also ruffle the feathers of the install base, right? So you always walk this line of half truths or non truths, right? Yeah. You know, you see it all the time. What is it? Marketing speak.
Yeah. But in Xbox defense, you know, the fans that it does have, they're happy. They like Xbox Game Pass. They're good. The Xbox is doing say what you will about Xbox. They're still doing a better job of satisfying their fucking customers than Disney is. All right.
The thing about it is, it's like right now it is a small a lot of people, but it's a small, you know, a small amount. Once they start expanding that audience, how much of it will remain the same, right? Will people start to complain? Oh, hey man, you got all these price hikes, and there's nothing. You're not getting anything else, or you know what happens later on? Because you know, obviously, when you're on the ground floor, they want to make sure that they keep getting your money, right?
Yeah.
So, but like once it starts expanding, that's the one where it's like, then we get into the world of Netflix, right? When they start, you know, expanding, you know, they expand their business and they start charging more money, but yet the content doesn't get any better.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is exactly my fear. Like, that's one of those things where I'm like, bro, I'm going to be like 9 years from now when like Game Pass has gotten big and they give you a terrible deal for the value that you're getting at that point. I'm going to have motherfuckers still coming for me hot, be like, what's up, bro? I thought you said Game Pass was a good value. I'm like, yeah, in 2023, that was before the collapse of the, you know, of fucking Europe or whatever the fuck is going to happen next.
Yeah, no, because remember, on the internet, you're not allowed to change your opinion based on new information. You're not allowed
I'm saying. Like, on that note, motherfuckers just put Remnant 2 on Game Pass. Like, God damn it. I already bought this game.
You know, yeah, listen, if you're on Xbox, you have your probably happy. Even if you're not getting first party content, you're still getting a lot of shit. Like, I'll have to admit that too, you know? And they haven't lost their zealot fans yet, unlike Disney, who have, you know?
You say yet. We're on the same page. You say yet because it will have, these things come in cycles. One of these days, Sony will never really be an underdog, but one of these days, Microsoft will claw more market share back, start treating its customers like shit, and you're going to see me on the other side of the fence.
Yeah. Jay Shep goes, I missed the beginning of the show. Do you guys think Xbox is going third party? No. Yep. Why? They're being fronted. I mean, who pays their bills? It's Xbox. Xbox, it doesn't. Yeah, I mean, Microsoft. Yeah. They're good. They're not going third party. That makes no sense for Xbox to go third party when Microsoft owns them. You know, that is crazy talk. Why was there a rumor going around? Because, and where did that rumor come from? A YouTuber? You know?
Hey guys,
I heard this crazy rumor. Like and subscribe. Smash the like button. You know?
Smash the like button. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe to my Patreon. Yeah,
and play League of Legends.
Or is it?
No.
Leave a comment. Let me know what you think.
Yeah.
Or let me know what you think in the
comments.
League
Shadow Legends.
Yeah, League Shadow Legends. There you go.
Raid.
Thank you. Shows what I know. All right. I want to go to this other thing that Phil Spencer said now.
Spencer.
Actually, excuse me. Before we get to that, there's another thing. Xbox explains why it doesn't reveal console sales anymore. Remember, that's been a kind of point of contention. It's like PlayStation announces their shit. Nintendo announces their shit. Xbox hasn't since the Xbox One days. But before that, during the 360 days, you got them sales figures. You emphatically got them sales figures, you know?
I mean, did y'all think maybe they just got sick of being laughed at?
I think so. You know? So I'm going to read this from...
Why are you going to... Number one, like, as soon as they start saying some of that sort of stuff, anything negative, that already starts to affect public perception, and that also affects the friggin' investors. They'll be like... You know, obviously, investors are investing in all of Microsoft on its own. And then you have they're like, hey, what's up with those guys over there? They're saying that they're having losses and they don't, and all this other stuff. That's why it's all blended together into this one big in-game division.
Yeah.
You know?
So yeah, I'm going to read this article. This is from GameStop. 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 In 2015.
GameStop, huh?
Yeah. In 2015, Microsoft stopped announcing Xbox sales numbers 2 years after the one. And now the company has shed more light on that decision. Xbox CFO Tim Stewart, that's the guy we've been quoting this entire time, said at the summit that Microsoft doesn't publicly disclose these figures because, as Microsoft sees it, a unit sales number alone doesn't provide the clearest picture of how the Xbox brand is performing overall. Very interesting. For what it's worth,
they report it all as one thing.
Yeah. So here's what he says. At first, it was like, what are you doing? You're the Xbox business and you're not giving us console sales numbers? That makes no sense. But it was really the first point of us saying, no, it's about content and services. So that's how he sees it, you know? Kind of goes back. Go ahead, Manny.
Yeah, again, like, I just said that. But, like, the thing about it is, again, it doesn't look good if you're saying that to people who don't know how their systems work, their whatever works, if you see this one negative number that their console sales are doing pretty bad worldwide. The problem is, let's say for the sake of conversation, all of a sudden because this is all at a point when their consoles are all doing horribly.
Yeah.
From Xbox One all the way up till now. What if the tide had switched? What if the Xbox starts doing numbers again, doing some decent numbers? In fact, they were saying that they weren't reporting on it, but they were talking about their sales of the S being up pretty high. Granted, we don't have direct numbers from that, but they're still touting it when there's a success. So again, like if the tide turned and all of a sudden Xbox has started doing well, they would start reporting those numbers because they want to put that fucking feather in their cap.
Yeah. Guys, we're referencing the interview with the CFO. We said that at the beginning of the show.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Also, J-Ship goes Game Pass on PlayStation and Nintendo. We talked about that years ago. Basically, Microsoft did want to put, or they came to PlayStation, asked them about Game Pass on PlayStation. PlayStation was like, no. So, but that ties into something we're going to talk about a little bit later on, later. Sony already rejected that, which makes sense. They have their own service. They don't want a competitor on there.
What would you do if you were to do something like that? Oh, we'll talk about that later.
We'll get to that. So, yeah, I mean, there's not much more to say about this one specifically, but yeah, he's just basically saying this is why they don't reveal console sales, because they don't feel that's indicative of, you know, what constitutes as a success, you know? That's what they say. Oh, well,
you know, again, if they did separate that number out, that would cause a red flag in any of the investors who are paying attention.
Yeah.
So they see that, you know, if they're looking at this games and services, arbitrary number, they're like, okay, it seems to be doing okay. We have nothing to worry about there.
Yeah.
It's literally the control of information. Again, once you start putting bullet points and you know, singling out things, that's when people start to ask fucking questions.
Yeah. And by the way, guys in the chat, the interview I'm reading from is the one you posted in the Discord. So thank you for that, because that's where I get my news from you guys, you know, which I appreciate.
Good stuff.
By the way, I noticed that the guys in the chat started posting more screenshots, which annoyed me at first, but I understand why, because now when you post a Twitter link, it doesn't show the preview anymore on Discord.
Yeah,
I get it. So it's cool to keep doing that, because at least with the screenshot you see what the story's about, you know. But yeah, it's mm-hmm. it sucks. I, you know, because people are pulling out of Twitter mm-hmm. or whatever. Elon, man, character, you know,
that guy.
anyway, moving on here, kind of related to what we were talking about before. Xbox's Phil Spencer considers PlayStation 5 and Nintendo Switch players as part of the Xbox community.
What leads him to that?
That is
what leads him to that leap. What leads him to that mental leap?
Yeah. So I'm reading this from GamesRadar, which is a fellow future site. Xbox head Phil Spencer considers PS5 and Nintendo Switch users as part of the overarching Xbox community. Speaking to Japanese publication Famitsu in a new interview, Spencer was asked about his vision now that Microsoft has successfully acquired Activision Blizzard. The Xbox head stated that because the acquisition lets Xbox put more games on PlayStation and Nintendo Switch platforms, he consequently considers players on said platforms to be part of the Xbox community. Okay, I understand that line, I guess, the line of reasoning. A little fuzzy there.
I
guess, but
I mean, it's a little bit fuzzy because it's only for Call of Duty, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's for Activision games. It's all Activision games, apparently. But it gets more it's interesting. All Activision? Yeah, it gets more interesting here. Not all Activision, but they're not. It's not off the table, that option, you know.
Come on! They're just gonna put Call of Duty on there and lock down all the other shit.
And here's more. This kind of interesting too. Spencer says that he considers the ROG Ally and Steam Deck users to already be part of the Xbox community, since they can both play Xbox published games like Redfall and Starfield. As Xbox has now control of Activision Blizzard games like Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3, and Overwatch 2, Spencer is applying the same logic to PlayStation and Nintendo Switch players.
Whoa. Did he willingly name drop Redfall? And if so, why?
No. He didn't. The writer did.
You know? Oh, okay. That was okay. That's okay. That's mean. That was mean of you, writer.
I understand what he's saying, but
it's not really part of the Xbox community.
Ask a PlayStation guy if they're part of the Xbox community, and you'll see their response.
That's exactly my point. See, what I said earlier, you can say whatever you want, but the world is going to keep on being like, that makes a lot of sense if you ignore what words mean, but other than that. No, and you can say it all that you want, but nobody believes you.
Yeah,
it's like calling the platform X. You know, nobody's ever going to call it X, and it'll always be Twitter.
Yes,
because everybody's just used to do it calling it that way. But
calling people who play, you know, I mean, Xbox is part of the PlayStation community because they have MLB The Show.
They were first at doing that one, right?
Yeah, so it's making useless the term community. It's you have to cultivate it.
Unless you're going to be throwing big fat ads for Xbox Game Pass during the during your loading screens, like a certain game did.
Uh-oh. Again, I get what he's saying, but that's some mental gymnastics there, man.
It's definitely a mental leap, and the Japanese don't even question that either. Just like, oh, okay. Not even like, yo, what did you just say?
Oh, what is this?
This makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. This is the only way I could relate it, because I'm reviewing this this new, I can't even call it, let's just call it a laptop. I'm reviewing this laptop called it's the Spectre Fold, right? And they call it a 3-in-1 because you can use it like a laptop, like a tablet, or they say desktop mode because it has like a kickstand in the back and you could put it on your desk and use the Bluetooth. So I'm like, technically, no, it's not a big thing, but it's like, it's on your desk. It's on top of your desk. So you can't call it a desktop. That's the same type of logic Phil Spencer is using here. You know,
because to be honest, it's just a laptop. It's just a laptop.
It's a tablet with a fucking kickstand. That's it. You know, but it's technically
it's on top of the desk.
It's on top of your desk. Therefore, it's on top of the desk. It's the same deal here. It's like, wait, our games are on PlayStation and Nintendo. Therefore, they're part of our community. Technically, literally, okay, but no. That's insane.
No, I'm sorry, Phil. That's definitely a mental leap on that one.
Yeah. Now, if she has said this, but I have said that, and I'm saying like this, you know, he sounds like one of those shysters, you know?
Yeah. So, like, here's the thing. That's like, again, like, okay, you're part of the community. So what are you doing for your community other than putting these things on different consoles? Because to be honest, nobody – community dictates that you want to be a part of something.
Yeah.
You're not getting anything out of this other than the game.
It's like, imagine if some guy just comes up to you, like some random guy. It's like, yo, man, the girl down the hall owes me money. Y'all live on the same floor. That makes you the same family. That means you owe me money. It's the same thing.
I was just about to say, okay, Phil. Like, I get an income tax return. You owe income tax. So technically, you owe me money, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Weird logic, man. Weird logic. I'm thinking about something.
It sounds like he might have smoked a little something right before he got on that interview. Oh, wait, he can't do that in Japan. It's illegal.
Yeah, you can't. You could talk to the guy. Like, you could talk to the guy who voiced Judgment Dude.
Talk to Paul McCartney. Talk to Paul McCartney. Yeah.
He spent weeks or months in jail or something in a Japanese jail?
Yeah, because he smoked a little.
Hey, okay. There's a limit. I don't need to sit here and listen to you disparage marijuana like that.
Hey, that's Japan, man.
Yep.
Oh, no, I'm so talking shit up. No. Anyway.
What is it? What do they call it? They're all straight edge over there.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, no, they drink like fucking. Like that's something that I find
hilarious.
Like Europe and America are like, you know what's a lot better for your health? Not drinking and like a little bit of weed. Meanwhile, Japan, they're like, let's see how far down we can drive our life expectancy with alcohol abuse.
Shibuya meltdown, right, Carlos? Oh, man.
That's the Shibuya meltdown.
Yeah,
that shit. Bro, being an alcoholic is literally part of your job.
Yeah, it is. You got to, if the boss is drinking, you got to drink too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I want to move on, still related to Xbox. This one's interesting. So Bethesda began responding to negative criticism of Starfield on Steam, which is unprecedented. I've never heard of a company doing that before.
No.
Yeah, they forgot the cardinal rule. Don't reply. But they started directly replying to people.
Bro, okay. Not only that, but like the things that they were replying with, like I'll be honest, for like a good 10 minutes, I was sitting there. I'm like, is this shit some kind of fucking psyop? like the shit that they were saying not only sounds super scripted, but again, sounds like one of those things where like, technically you're saying the truth, but nobody could believe you're making a genuine argument that there being nothing in Starfield adds to the immersion, right? Like, you're just being a smarmy. Like, this whole thing fucking stunk of, like, some Reddit post users who decided to, like, fucking troll the whole internet. But it has the developer tags on it. So I'm like, this seems so inconceivably stupid that there is, like, I can't believe that this is accidental and genuine. I can't believe that somebody's like, how can you be that fucking tone deaf? not even the fact that you don't respond to them, but say shit like, yeah, base is empty. That adds to the immersion. What? Bitch, what?
All right. I got to, Manny, Brett, you guys are artists, right? You guys both know you're not supposed to explain your art to people. You got to let them come to their decisions, right? Isn't that how it's supposed to work?
Yes.
If you're doing it right, yeah.
Yeah, if you're doing it, exactly.
It sort of depends, because like there's a whole industry of art where essentially the artist explains their work and essentially convinces a sale.
Yeah.
But that usually artists that don't really have a lot going on in their actual work.
Mm-hmm. Maybe modern art.
Are telling you.
Oh, that trash.
Being nice.
Oh, look, I smeared. Yeah, like I threw buckets of paint on a wall. Give me money. That's art now.
Yeah, those were a lot of those works where you see the artist literally standing next to their piece telling you what their intent was. That is not an art. The art is not actually the art. The art is actually the person standing next to the painting and telling you what their intent was. But under normal circumstances, yes, art is you're supposed to talk about the intent, but in general, you're supposed to derive your own, whatever the intent of the work is, on your own.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Sometimes it's mysterious. Like a good example is like a guy like David Lynch, right? David Lynch, he will never tell you what his crazy ass films are about. It's all a part of the experience is essentially looking at the symbols and deriving your own meaning from what he's talking, what he's addressing in something like Eraserhead.
Yeah.
You know,
but yeah,
Miyazaki will never tell you what a Souls game is about, and nobody wants him to.
Damn right.
Yeah. You know? Well, the thing about it is they give you the world itself. They give you a lot of, you know, grains of information, but these things may not be the thing that caused the calamity to destroy the world or whatever, right? You know certain things happen are solid because everybody keeps saying these certain things happen, but there's no question as to who's right, what's the right ending, what's the good, the best intent. There's none of that in there. So yeah.
By the way, I want to read an exchange, but go finish your point, Brett.
I was going to say some creative types think that art is collaborative, like, especially if you're doing like gestural painting or certain types of writing, like you rely on the viewer kind of filling in the blank. I mean, fuck, that's like,
yeah,
3/5 of all horror everything.
Yeah. Again, you know, because you know, you guys know I'm writing these books, right? And you know, and I'm also like in a writing group, and one of the things I learned is you don't tell people, explain things. If somebody goes, oh, I'm confused by this, you don't tell them, oh, this is why. You go, oh, they're confused by that. Other people may be confused. Maybe I need to work on that. Oh, this character didn't work for me. And I go, no, let me tell you why that character is cool. You go, oh, okay. I can flesh that out. You don't interfere with it. You know, you're not supposed to do that. Then it kind of just ruins everything. And like Brett said, you also don't want to give everything away. It's like, because there are like some writers that like try to go for every single detail. And the thing I'm trying to do is like, I want to just give you enough and let your own imagination fill it in. You know, I'm not going to tell you this is why.
That's a critical component in horror stuff. Like I saw a great synopsis of like the state of horror games in the industry and like how one of the fundamental necessities in a horror game is leaving enough open to the imagination. Like it's the implying of something horrific and then leaving it open-ended, allowing the person's brain to like kind of cascade through all of these different horrible things that it could be. That's why like a pair of eyes in the darkness is scarier than most monsters you could ever actually draw or kind of conceive. It's why the old gods are fucking horrifying, because you're like, yeah, I can imagine what Cthulhu looks like. Can't imagine what the fucking Yellow Prince looks like. That shit is just hard to conceptualize, and that makes it weird and scary. So like, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta let people's imagination.
An indescribable horror.
Yeah, I mean, that's what H.P. Lovecraft built his entire career on, that, where he gives you just enough and your mind fills in the rest, and you're like, that's fucking scary. Because you don't know, you don't know. He doesn't just tell you the monster had this, and that, you know? You just get enough, and that's how good things are. But anyway, I gotta read this, man. So I'm gonna read what a reader said, or a like a customer said, and I got to read this response. And I swear this response has got to be AI generated. Jesus Christ. Anyway, here's the reviewer, right? Boring and overrated. This is a wide universe to explore, filled mostly with empty planets. I understand they have to do that to sell you on the idea that this whole universe, but that doesn't make the game more fun. You can land on any planet and explore the copy-pasted locations. You'll see the same exact locations from one end of the universe to the other and everywhere in between. A hodgepodge of messy, slapped-together mechanics, bloated skill trees, exploring, crafting, base building, an RPG, an FPS, a space opera. Starfield doesn't know what it wants to be. As wide as the ocean, as deep as a puddle, you can explore everywhere, but why would you want to? So that's what a reader said. This was the response. Greetings. Thank you for taking the time to leave a review for Starfield! We are sorry that you do not like landing on different planets and are finding many of them empty. Some of Starfield's planets are meant to be empty by design, but that's not boring. When the astronauts went to the moon, there was nothing there. They certainly weren't bored. The intention of Starfield's exploration is to evoke a feeling of smallness in a player and make you feel overwhelmed. You can continue to explore and find worlds that do not have resources you need or hidden outposts to look through. to provide feedback to Starfield, please feel free to submit your here. Never stop exploring. Bethesda customer support. Yeah, that sounds like a person wrote that.
I just want to mention this whole thing is ridiculous. I can't believe no one interrupted Tony. Just imagine this game is not boring because just think about when fucking the astronauts went to the fucking moon.
That's my point exactly. Like this some psyops malicious compliance. Like no human being could have written those words and meant them at face value, right? Like,
no, yeah, my God,
it's like an angry intern or something. Like, I'm not sure what cog went out. Like, and here's the thing: like, all of these use the exact same fucking language, right? Yeah. And like that reference right there, like that was a reference brought up. I forget who said it, and it was like in some kind of interview. Like, it was a piece of promotional material that was like lost in the internet a while ago, right? But it was from an official at Bethesda saying this, and it just sounds like it's reworded as a response. So, like, yeah, like, maybe it's AI. Honestly, AI is the most believable answer to this, because I'm like, again, like, how can you read that and think the person who wrote this response is a fan of Starfield? Like, no! Like, that's, what are you, chained in the fucking basement? What is going on here? Like, somebody tell me I'm not taking crazy pills. Like, there's no way to read that and be like, yeah, they're a fan.
Yeah,
they're
defending it. Yeah, it's. I mean, it is from Bethesda, but even then, it doesn't sound like a real person from within Bethesda wrote that. It sounds like fucking AI. You know,
it's what AI or sarcasm, maybe like that. That would be that is some brilliant fucking sarcasm.
Yeah. By the way,
if it is,
yeah, not to go off topic too much, but do you guys hear the whole Sports Illustrated fiasco?
AI generated articles.
Manny, no, it gets better. AI generated articles by AI generated writers.
What?
Okay.
What do you mean?
Okay, so basically, they have these articles written by AI with using pictures of AI generated. Like people, like basically they went to a website that has generated photos, used those, created a bullshit bio for them, and then had these articles written by AI, and nobody caught on to this for months, which kind of also shows yeah, go ahead, Brett.
So AI not only wrote the articles but pretended to be people writing the articles.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
But it also goes to show you the state of journalism, that journalism is so bad now that nobody realized it wasn't fucking AI. You know, but here,
I mean, also, who's reading Sports Illustrated for the articles?
That's also true. But here's one of the examples, and I wish I was making this up. There was an article about volleyball, right? And they were talking about, what goes into volleyball. It literally said, I am not making this up, volleyball can be is a challenging sport, especially without using a ball.
So I think that the things that people reading these articles are also bots.
I think so. And that's the whole other thing I fear.
They've broken away from us completely. They're AI making people to write the articles and then making people to read the articles. And like, it doesn't even need us anymore.
Yeah. It's a lot. Blitz asks, are you covering what the Xbox CFO said about AI and game development? We talked about that shit already. I don't want to go over that again. We talked about AI, and he basically said his thing. We want to use AI for scripting, for NPCs, for quests. We discussed that before. I don't want to go over that again. But yeah, so that happened in Sports Illustrated, which is ridiculous. And then we all saw the whole Cena fiasco, where for months they had AI written news and nobody said shit until they got caught. You know, it's wild. But again, it's like, could you at least have a human edit this shit? A volleyball is difficult without a ball. What? No one called. And they claim, oh, we thoroughly look over these articles. Yeah, you sure should don't, you know? That's like saying drinking water is difficult without water. Yeah, no shit, you know? Anyway, I want to read some of this more because this is fucking funny to me now. So this is a reader, right? A reviewer. The story is generic and as it gets, and the gameplay gets boring. I wish there was a reason to even bother exploring planets and building outposts. Everything is fun until you do it once. Then it's all repeating soulless chore. This was the response. Greetings. Thank you for taking the time to leave a review for Starfield with an exclamation point. You can fly, you can shoot, you can mine, you can loot. Starfield is an RPG with hundreds of hours of quests to complete and characters to meet. Most quests will also vary on your character's skills and decisions, massively changing the outcome of your playthrough. Try creating different characters with backgrounds and characteristics that clash or are opposite of your previous character. You will feel like you are playing a totally different game. Put points in different skill points and put a character you've previously created, and now you're faced with a completely different decisions that make it difficulties more, whatever. AI fucking generated. AI generated.
Yeah, I feel like that's the...
Yeah,
it's the same thing. Like when you when you tweet at like a company,
yeah,
and then you get a message in your private messages asking you about certain things. It's the same sort of deal. I think it's just they have an AI running in there, and then now all it does is just automatically replies to anything based off of the information that they've probably trained it off of how the game works.
Yeah, it's the customer service chat room.
Yes, yeah, it's customer service AI. Yeah. You know, Blitz says Microsoft also wants to use AI for localization. Yeah, I saw that. That's very disturbing. You're going to put a lot of people out of work, but
local.
But then again, if you're going to replace people like Yang, yeah, I guess that's okay. You know,
I mean, bro, localization.
He is not localization. He's VO. Localization is essentially attempting to. That means translation of things.
Oh, the thing that the actor would read then, right?
The thing that the actor would read, essentially the writing, which needs a fair amount. That's why it's called localization and not translation, because you have to change things around because languages don't work the same.
Yeah, localizing is not translation, because if you did straight translation, it wouldn't make any sense. You know,
exactly.
Yeah. Some subs are AI generated already.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. Everything's being taken over by this stuff. But
I mean, yeah. Well, here's the thing. Captions have been being done by voice recognition software for a good hot minute now. I know this.
Oh, because, yeah. But the thing is, a lot of that is, it's not, you know, granted, there is a certain, when it's trained, there's a certain amount of consistencies that happen to it. I noticed that, like, a lot of the translation for, like, if you translate a Japanese person, has gotten a lot better these days on Google. I mean, not on Google, on on Twitter than it used to be, you know, where you can literally understand it a lot better. So my guess is that it understands the ordering of how things go, and it sort of creates a more cohesive sentence, but it still needs sort of localization when it comes to certain colloquials, and also, you know, fitting lip flaps and things like that. So,
yeah. But anyway, back to the Bethesda stuff. Yeah, this thing's ridiculous. It's fucking ridiculous, dude.
So yeah. So the real news is that Bethesda now has a AI. What do they call it? A AI customer service bot. So whenever somebody leaves a negative review, it has a retort of some sort.
Yeah. Hey, look at this. I'm reading another one. It's the same exact response. It has to be AI generated. There's no difference at all. You know. We are sorry that you know you do not like landing on planets or finding many of them empty. Same response as before, you know?
Yeah, they literally have a bot running in there.
Yeah.
That answers these things. So it's not it's neither here nor there.
It's insane. Absolutely insane.
To be honest, it's like, you know, they really shouldn't be running anything like that there.
They shouldn't be responding, period. Let the game speak for itself.
I don't understand why.
I mean, the AI aspect bothers me, don't get me wrong, but I'm more bothered by the fact that they would take the time to do this. No, you don't need to. You know, it's
dumb. We got a great idea. We're gonna let loose a bot to answer to reply to anybody's negative reviews.
Even if it was human, it's stupid. This doesn't need to be done.
It doesn't make any sense.
Here's one of the things like I thought was like interesting and telling of the whole situation. Like I've heard a lot of people say, like, oh, the copy and pasted assets of Starfield are, you know, super problematic. Here's the thing. Most games copy and paste a good majority of their assets quite a bit. It's not really considered worth investing in the assets to begin with if you're only going to use them once or twice. So it is a big industry standard thing. Now here's the crux of it though. Most of the time people don't complain because it's not blaringly obvious. If you have something, even if it's kind of standard, even if like, you know, like even if you are going for, oh, we're going for a thing to make you feel small, what you should be taking away from this is, well, you failed. The thing that you tried to do, you didn't succeed in doing because you came up with boring. Unless your intention was boring, you didn't succeed. You can try and explain it all the way away all fucking day, but it's still boring and unenjoyable. People are not engaging with it. And no matter how many excuses you fucking make about what you were trying to do or what you intended to do or what they should be doing, it comes back to poor design, man. Like, if people are engaging with your product the way that they're supposed to, mm-hmm. whose fault is that?
Yep.
I think the thing about it is, like, and you said it before, too, like, when you were talking about, like, how you felt like the universe feels empty and all that stuff, where it's like you took the content of what would normally be in a Bethesda game and then you spread it across a galaxy. So essentially just watering down the content to essentially the same amount of content just spread over a larger distance. So now you're seeing now what you're seeing is the filler that's being put in between and realizing there's all it is filler and it's nothing else, you know, like, well, hey, look, there's a solar system over there. Great. And there's only one thing that you can do in that solar system. All the other planets in that solar system are all empty.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Like part of me gets it. Like I have often talked about kind of mundane enjoyment being an active part of some video games, and probably more so than most of the people on the podcast, other than maybe Brian, this elite, dangerous plane motherfucker over here. But like, there is something cathartic about like a proper takeoff sequence, or just like engaging the grav drives and like sailing through space, doing some of the more basic things, even down to like, oh, like I need to stop and put gas in my vehicle, like, or I do some basic repairs. I love Space Engineers. One of the coolest things about its building mechanics is when you started constructing like a block, like unlike Minecraft where you just like drop it down, you actually laid it in and scaffolded it. So instead of using 30 steel, you could use one steel to like lay out the steel beams, the scaffolding, and build an entire superstructure, and then go along with like a backpack full of steel and start welding everything together. And it was just a very neat experience. Was it the most efficient? No, but like that's a lot of times that kind of like mundane vibe check kind of, it's not the most efficient thing and you don't want it to be. But here's the thing. If it breaks down to the point where you're like, yeah, I'd rather not be doing this, then you haven't really made it that engaging. So like, I understand the part of Starfield where you're planning your course through a star map. I understand, like, it's much more enjoyable to, like, actually walk up through the game, get in your ship, go up to, like, the captain's quarters in your ship, sit down at the actual star map, and then chart a course, and then get into the cockpit, take off, and go from there. Does it does it feel streamlined? Like, no. And like putting all the pieces in the right order and maybe adding the connecting bits, like, yeah, maybe taking off through the atmosphere would have been the thing that really tied all of it together. Maybe it really would have been that simple. Maybe letting you fly your ship through atmosphere would have been better. I don't know, but I do know that the little kind of broken bits that you gave us, it doesn't build right. And so those moments, those little mundane moments that you have in there, they feel like these unnecessary, awkward bolt-ons, right? Like, yeah, I can go and sit down at the star map on my ship, but that goes through like three unnecessary loading screens for nothing more than to pass the vibe check a little bit better when all of the other parts are missing. It makes it just feel like you're trying to, you know, putting a round peg in a square hole. Yeah, technically it'll fit, but it's not super satisfying.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
My issue. Yeah. Looking at what was being said from both sides. See, the reviews themselves, they kind of feel like they make a point, but then sometimes they just say things that don't make much sense. For example, planets being empty. That is space. There's nothing there. Like, most planets will be nothing. Now, are most planets nothing in Starfield? Not really, which is kind of my problem. Like, yes, I'm saying that my issue is that the planets are not empty enough. I know. Because you land on a planet and then suddenly it's just a bunch of stuff, no matter where you land. And to me, that makes no sense. But then, other things that are being said, I kind of agree with. Like, there's lots of mechanics in the game, but sometimes they don't really feel like they work together enough. So that part I agree with. So, but then the response as well, I kind of agreed parts of it and disagree with other parts. I'm not going to go into too much detail there. But going to what Brett said about the overall design and all the different parts and how they fit together, looking back at Starfield, it feels like there are two different ethoses in the design. There's the one part where they wanted to make a space game. So it has all the, you can go to a star map, you can plot your thing, you can see the planets, you can go here, do that, do scanning, and all sorts. But then at the same time, it feels like they took that game and then they gave it to, I don't know whether it's focus testers or something, but they took it to someone, and that someone had an attention span of like TikTok, and then said, okay, it's good, but I want to get there faster. So that's why I feel like there's just lots of weird fast travel everywhere. I mean, if you're on a planet, you can fast travel to your ship. Why? I have no idea. But at the same time, I wouldn't be able to walk there, because again, I walked away from it, I walked to it. But no, usually I'd land on a planet, and then I'd walk to where I'm going, and then fast travel back, because the option is there, which is weird. I don't see why the option needs to be there. Or even worse, just fast travel to any other place you've been to. And that kind of breaks the whole part of getting into your ship, plotting your journey, and taking off. So I feel like there are weirdly two things in play, and they're kind of bashing against each other, and maybe that's a main disconnect that people are having, that they're noticing this weird seam between these two ideas, and it's just not gelling, which I think is a fair point of criticism for the game.
Yeah. All right.
I feel like I kind of agree with Brian, but in terms of the maps themselves, I feel like most of the maps should be empty, but I feel like some of the populated maps aren't populated enough in terms of just in terms of scope, whether it's New Atlantis, when it comes to, you know, things to do in New Atlantis, the buildings, the people, and, you know.
Oh my God! Thank you.
It's
like
just,
that's kind of my issue. Like, the biggest cities in this game feel like the smallest towns I've ever been to. Like, I don't know about any of you motherfuckers in New York, but like the rest of y'all. Have you ever been to a town that just has one Sonic? Like, that's all that they have is a Sonic. There's a bunch of them. I don't know if that's like Sonic's business model or something like that, but they're all over the fucking place. If you drive, you know, do road trips and shit like that enough, like, oh, here's a tiny little fucking town. It has like one truck stop with, you know, like one or two truck stops and like a Cracker Barrel or some shit like that. Like, that is the size of every goddamn, like, the biggest settlements in Starfield. Why?
Yeah, and it feels like The only city in the game that has some sort of character is Neon. And that's not even the primary city. It's like the only one that has character. It has some lore. You know, the characters, some of the missions there are pretty interesting. But, you know, New Atlantis is just there because that's where the homeboys are at. You know, the cult. I forgot the name. And it's where you first update your ship, and it's where you can buy some stuff. And that's it. That's the only thing that New Atlantis has to offer you.
I got a controversial statement, though.
Oh, it's going to be very controversial.
Oh, where's Richard Bailey Jr.?
Neon is my favorite iteration/portion of Night City.
You know, it's funny when you said Neon, Carlos. I was like, "Is it does it have character?" Because they just, you know, took what Cyberpunk did.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of pretty much a Cyberpunk, tangentially Cyberpunk town, and that's sort of the intrigue of it. And New Atlantis is just it's the Citadel, if it was like 10 blocks. Damn. Or less than 10 blocks.
Oh, by the way, real quick, Puffin Cloud, what's going on, man? In the chat, he says, all the cities have lore. New Atlantis has a lot to do in it. Did you go to the well?
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like it's not big. It gives the impression of big if you kind of subscribe to the cognitive dissonance of, oh, well, there's just a lot of the city that I can't go to. Like, if you think of it that way, sure. But, like, there's a whole lot of background there that you can't fucking explore. And for a Bethesda game, that's fucking weird.
Oh, shit. Somebody said, you know, on Twitter, at least they had vehicles on the moon. Damn. Starfield didn't have vehicles.
Yeah. Well, shit. Someone from Korea. Shout out to Korea.
Because I was like, is that a troll? But no. Shout out to Korea. I'm from Korea. I'm bad at English. It's all good. Everybody's welcome. As long as you love video games, it is all right, you know?
And I know some Korea.
Good stuff.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there you go.
Good stuff. But, yeah, it's, you know, my issues with Starfield are sort of attributed to that. I also agree with Brian. And I'll go one step further with some of the criticisms, at least the ones that we read. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of valid criticisms, but some of the stuff that we read, it just seems like talking points, like, you know, the same talking points that everyone mentions.
The fan criticism.
Yeah, the other ones aren't talking points. Well,
there is a puddle, you know, was it wide as the ocean, deep as a puddle? Yeah, we've heard all that before, you know, but at least they were written by real people. You could tell. It's crazy, man. But shout out to you, Puffin Cloud. He likes the game. He says, I have over 250 hours, and I did barely anything in New Atlantis, and I know there's a lot to do left. You know? No, listen, if you like the game, that's cool. You know, no one's taking that away from you.
Well, a lot of people like the game.
Yeah. Where's the Discord server? Carlos, can you hit him up?
Yes. One second.
Join us, man. Join our rambunctious gaming community, you know? And also you're going to be joining the Xbox community because, you know, according to Phil Spencer's logic, you know, since people use Discord to play Xbox, therefore they're part of the Xbox community, you know? All right, good stuff. I want to move on to this next story here. Also Xbox related. That's the theme of the night. Adam must have gotten this because he's always subscribed to emails, right? People who are subscribed to the Xbox newsletter got this statement. Celebrate the best games of the year and the big winners live at the Game Awards on December 7th. Why is this written in fucking bullshit? Anyway, but here's the important part. Along with important announcements and other Xbox news that you don't want to miss. So basically, Xbox is saying they're going to have some big news at the Game Awards. Which is cool because we were just talking about this last week and we're like, we don't know what they're going to fucking show. You know, to be fair, we don't know what Sony's going to show either. But
if they show anything.
So, I don't want to go into speculation mode, but.
Bro, why does it matter?
Hellblade like, 2, maybe, you know?
Dude, like, here's the thing. Like, everybody collectively has the opinion for Microsoft of, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Yet they still be like, well, exactly. let's see what we're going to fucking come up. Like, it doesn't matter. No matter what comes out or is on like the docket to supposedly come out, it's not going to move the needle one fucking bit. You guys remember Clockwork? No, nobody remembers that game. That game looks awesome. The game, it looks like BioShock.
Wow. Yeah. I don't remember that game. You're right about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. See? Right. That's like you want to talk about the Xbox tax, it's that right there. Like, they have a bunch of things in the line. Like, bro, like, Hellblade is supposed to be coming this year.
It's right? not like, coming this year. No way it's coming this year, you know? It's December. Because it's December. The game's not coming this year.
Oh, excuse me. It's supposed to come 2024. Yeah,
please do.
If anything, I would think it'd probably come early 2024.
I hope so.
Which is still in the same fiscal year.
I don't give a fuck, man. I'm still hyped for that game because I like the first one, you know?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, they could come out and show you, like, I insert immaculate fucking crazy game here, and most people be like, yeah, I forgot about like 20 minutes after the thing. Like, they don't have the goodwill to really kind of like write the check to get the hype to begin with. And I don't necessarily blame people for that opinion. There's certain games I'm hyped about, but like I can understand where people would be of the mindset of like, look, until the game is out and reviewed and good, and I have my friends telling me that they have played it and beaten it, and it's worth my time from at least three verified sources, I'm not going to fucking listen. Yeah, but you have that right. Understandably so. They've kind of not delivered in the past, but why does that mean that, like, and I understand gamers aren't a monolith, but, like, I kind of ask, like, you, chat, like, are y'all really excited? Like, is there anything Microsoft could throw at you that you guys would be like, ooh, maybe I've been wrong this whole time. Like, maybe I really should start paying attention to this. And like, no, like, is there anything anybody could say to move the needle?
Ooh, yeah. I want to hear these responses in the chat. That's a great question. But I agree with that. And here's the thing, even though I'm just going to say it, the Xbox tax is real. It is.
Oh,
you know? It is like undeniable. It is, but for all the reasons we've discussed in the last 2 weeks, because Microsoft brought that tax on itself. You know, our Xbox did. So you got to show it. Show me the money. You know, show me the money. Or in this case, show me the games. You know, but you know, like Blitz said, they did reveal the Xbox Series X at Game Awards, right? So you know,
yes,
we could see something big. And I hope we do. It'll be good, you know. Hellblade would be very nice indeed. Let me read some of these comments. Blitz says Gear 6. Puffin Cloud says, I lived through the end of Xbox 360. The Xbox tax is real online. People love to hate Microsoft. There's some people that do. That's undeniable. I can't pronounce dude's name, but yeah, you don't come in here. You can hang out in the Discord, talk to the other fans, but this is for the guys who host the show, you know? Anyway.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's Gears or Hellblade. I mean, Hellblade, man.
So Blitz says Gears. So anybody else, what would actually get you excited for Xbox that they announce at the Game Awards? I think it's a good question.
That Indiana Jones game that they were supposed to do? What about that?
I don't know about that.
I would say maybe, I mean, if they give a release date for Hellblade, I mean, I would be excited. But if they show another one of those tech demos, I don't know if I'm going to be too happy.
Yo, what is this game called Spine I'm looking at? It's like a girl, like, fighting. That's CG, though. You guys know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm gonna post this in the chat. It's this game called Spine.
Spine.
I'll post it here in the Twitch chat so everybody else can see. What am I looking at here? This looks cool. Spine is a single player, story rich action game focused on intense close quarters gun combat. Coming to PS5, Series XX, and PC. Looks like a Japanese type of girl fighting, doing crazy stuff. Interesting. Anyway, I got
to show gameplay.
I mean, I like what you're saying.
Yeah, so do I. But here's the thing, Carlos. If you look at this, I don't think that's game. It looks too good to be gameplay.
Yeah,
I think it's pre-rendered.
Yeah, it's pre-rendered. It's, yeah, looks too good.
It looks a bit. Yeah, exactly. It
looks too good. Like, what I'm seeing is cool, Brian. But yeah, it's not real.
Is this gameplay?
I mean, Charlie, do you remember I gotta find out, looking up the name of it, because even I forgot the name. South of Midnight. Do you remember South of Midnight?
I do not.
That like kind of deep south Louisiana gothic looking fucking thing that they showed. And then they had Clockwork, which was the thing that looked fucking like a Bioshock game that looked pretty fucking dope. They're supposed to come out with Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2.
Yeah. I know that
one. This year. Avowed is pretty rumored to hit shelves in sometime in 2024.
Yeah. Looks like we're not really getting any responses for your question.
Blitz says, not sure.
He says, there ain't none. He says Gear 6. He says Gear 6, so that's that, you know?
He also said, not sure what else would get me excited from Xbox. Sadly, any new IP would be scrutinized as it would fail to deliver to many times now.
Xbox tax.
As they failed to deliver too many times now.
Yeah, and that, Xbox tax right there. Yeah. Not only that,
but if they announce something, it's the media going to be like, yeah, but when is it going to come out? I mean,
that again, like
Xbox
tax. That South of Midnight and Clockwork, like, it, to me, it's crazy because, like, every time I talk about this, everybody around me gets smooth brained to the point where, like, I'll mention it, and, like, 3 seconds later, I'll be like, you know that game? And they'll be like, what game? South of Midnight. Oh, what's that? That game I was talking about. What game? I swear to God, it's like it slides right off the brain, man.
To be fair, that legit did happen to me right now.
Yo, Tony.
Yeah, what's up?
Not only worrying Otaku about when it's going to come out.
Brother? Anyway, what's up?
Oh, yo.
What happened?
You know what else is Xbox tax?
What?
Man, who cares about that game? It's going to get a 60 on Metacritic anyways.
Yeah. No, but I hate to admit it, but yeah, Xbox tax is real, man.
Bro, here's the irony of it. If it doesn't get a 60 on Metacritic, they'll review bomb it till it does.
Yeah.
It's not really a tax. It's more like a...
No, it's not a tax. It's scrutiny. The word is scrutiny. But yes. But I get it. Like, it's not that I get it now. I understood it. Jay Shep goes, I don't think Tony's Xbox tax has the same definition as the Twitter Xbox tax. No, mine's just different because, again, I'm trying to apply some logic to it, unlike these crazies. Basically, on Twitter, they're saying that because it's Xbox and they have to hate on it, they have to automatically shit on it. I'm not saying that, even though there are people that do that, obviously. I'm saying because of their past actions, that's why they're getting scrutinized. So in that sense, that's why I get it, you know. Blitz says he likes my version because it's the one that actually makes sense, you know. And to be fair, it's me and Brett's version, all right? Because Brett said it, he you know, put it out there more eloquent than me, you know. There is a bias. See, here's the thing. I don't think it's bias. It's earned. They earned that shit, you know.
A bias can be earned.
Yeah. Can it? I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just like, I never thought about it that way.
Oh, no, yeah. Like, a bias can definitely be earned. Like, it just means, like, you're kind of, like, treating one favorably and the other one non-favorably. But again, it's kind of earned. Like, most of the time, it's not earned, but it's not inherently unearned.
Yeah, Tony, if I'm robbed 5 times in my whole entire life and all 5 times are by Dominicans, I'm going to have a bias against them.
Yeah, this is true. No, I get it. Yeah. All right. So it is a bias. Xbox has been so close to PC gaming that most console gamers automatically preferred PlayStation because of that. I'm talking the types of games big on Xbox previously. Otaku Man says they have to stop believing their own hype. I mean, we talked about that before too during the earlier show. It's true. Yeah, the Xbox tax is real. I said it. All right. So related to the Game Awards, now we actually are stepping away from Xbox.
Jeff Keighley
promises that they'll have better security this year.
Oh my God.
What is this? Third time's the charm?
Yep.
Because, wasn't it the Game Awards and then it was the Summer Games Fest that had all the people walking up on the stage?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Fan events with people in the same fucking room and you don't have tight security? You're a fucking idiot.
Dude, I love
that
they...
Again, God forbid that kid had some sort of weapon on him.
And I love that it takes people like Manny pointing it out for it to gain any fucking traction. Like, Jeff Keighley did not give a shit about the people that were there or their safety. But when people started talking about how unsafe that shit looked, oh, now he fucking cares.
Now,
really? Yeah, now.
Not the first time it happened. No.
Oh yeah, we made an example of that kid. Number one, like again, that is a given. You are putting on any sort of event that involves the open public. What are you going to have?
Yeah.
Metal security, detectors. Yeah. You're going to fucking lock down that stage. You're going to have VIP sections that are under guard, that so that no fucking crazy ass person can walk over. And you know what? You know, with all this stuff happening currently, you better make sure you're fucking careful right the fuck now.
Yeah.
Because by the way, that is a perfect situation for somebody to do some fucking crazy ass shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And not only that, but Jeff Keighley knows who's winning these awards.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they know the people and I'm pretty sure the people that are winning the awards know they're going to win the awards. That's why they're there. They should just ask them, hey, how many people from your team is going to go up the stage to accept the award? And there you go.
I was going to say this, right? You remember what game won the award last year, right? Elden Ring. So yes. you're trying to tell me there's a bunch of Japanese developers on stage and that one random kid is part of the team. Okay.
That one random ethnically ambiguous.
They should have stopped that that kid should have never have gotten even close to that fucking stage.
He just walked up with the team like it was nothing. And nobody did nothing, man.
Okay, so here's the thing about that. Like, the only thing that I will say about that is that dude preyed upon the fact the Japanese are generally a significantly more polite yeah. society than we are, and like took advantage of the fact that they were too polite to fucking say something.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Like, because it was because of that, they're like,
what the fuck?
Because of that, Japanese should be making fucking accommodations for cultural differences.
Yeah.
Miyazaki is going up to accept the award as like, I don't know. We were doing a Make-A-Wish Foundation thing.
Yeah.
I imagine it was just everybody was just too nice to be like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah. Maybe they're like, oh, I guess that's our escort for tonight.
He's too young to be an escort. He's too young to be a fucking bodyguard. Too scrawny for a bodyguard. They should, as soon as they saw that kid. His hair too long. Yeah. They should have, as soon as they saw that guy, and you could see him on some of the, you run it back, you actually see him creeping down.
Yep.
Because he knew that shit was going to happen.
And they just let it happen, man.
And then the next one, what did they do? Same fucking shit with Jeff Keighley. Walked up on a stage with somebody else, and then, and he's like, oh, you guys, what are you doing this again? Dumbass! You should have learned the last time. Touching that stage besides the people that are there, that are supposed to be there.
I would have paid money if Jeff Keighley would have just been like, not in my house, pulled a taser out of his pocket, taking that motherfucker down. Like, yes, if that happened, I would watch every representation you put on forever. Because that guy cares the psychotic amount, but no.
Maybe his boy Kojima is on town and they're going to make sure they put the security extra high because they're going to announce Death Stranding 2 or some silly.
When Kojima goes to the Jeff Keighley shows and to present or whatever, he's always by himself.
They're going to give him awards. You know, they're just going to make up a category for him.
The lifetime achievement times two.
Award. Oh no, you know what it is? Because he's okay, so you remember the lifetime achievement award. Isn't the person who got the lifetime achievement award the last time the person that presents it to the next person?
Is that the way it
works? I don't remember.
I'm not sure.
That's the way it usually works, right? The person who got the last thing gives the other one. So didn't Kojima win one?
I feel like it should be a duel.
But I don't remember Kojima ever presenting.
Yeah, I don't remember him presenting.
Like previously presented. For him. Like, I think it was what Reggie Fils-Aimé got it once, and then he presented it to Kojima. That was during the pandemic, right?
But who did Kojima present it to then?
I don't know. He didn't show up for the last game awards, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway. The category, like, most famous friends.
Yeah. Person to take pictures with the most famous people. Kojima.
Starfucker.
Kojima,
man.
Hideo.
The Starfucker Award.
Yeah, Award, you know.
And the Starfucker Award goes to...
Yo, man. Kojima, every fucking week, he posts a picture with a famous actor. Every week.
Yeah. Yeah, without that's someone Timothy like, Chalamet now. Like, it's like, hey, check out who's going to be in Death Stranding 2. That's the way I see it, you know?
I feel like that might be it. Like, or either that or he managed to scan him that day, you know, so that he has him just hanging around.
That's what I'm saying. All right, and the last thing, let's end the show off. Kind of a good note, but also cautiously optimistic note. We got our first look at the Fallout TV series, and it kind of looks dope.
Don't fall for the hype.
No, I know, Brett. This is why. Here's the thing. Visually, it looks like the games. Like when I saw these pictures, I'm like, that's Fallout. But
yeah,
remember, we're in current year Hollywood.
Yeah, but it's written by the motherfucker who wrote Westworld.
Is that a problem? I've never seen the show, so I don't know
if that would be Michael Crichton. Watched Westworld season 3 and 4, Brett.
No, it's just reception for Westworld has just been all over the goddamn place. I don't know if I want to watch it or not, because every time I'm like, oh, I hear it's good, people are like, no, not anymore.
Season 1 was very good.
Season 1 and 2 were good. I seen the trailer for season 3 and I was like, no. And then I seen 4, it's like, oh, good thing I stopped there.
Brian,
yeah.
Does it espouse the message?
It is really hard to say that when suddenly all the male leads are dead and it's just female leads. So it's hard to tell, Tony.
The show follows a young female vault dweller as she comes out and into the wasteland and meets a coincidentally black guy from the Brotherhood of Steel, and together they set off an adventure throughout the wasteland, and then there's a third someone or other. Like, I'm like, it doesn't mean that it's bad. It doesn't mean that it's bad.
But we fear the Panderverse, though, right?
We do fear the Panderverse.
See, and that's why I'm very careful to say it looks like Fallout, but I'm worried, you know?
Like, I'm worried because of what they did to Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Like, you do not do that to a man once Amazon? He is fucking dead. Like, that is dirty pool.
Brett, I don't know if I've ever told you this, right? A couple of years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, right? I had this thought. I'm like, wow. You know, when all this kind of craziness started happening, I thought to myself, man, I'm really glad they made Lord of the Rings 20 years ago because it'd be terrible now. Rings of Power proved my point.
I just hate it when they're not.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Rings of Power was based off of crap. Lord of the Rings is based off of Lord of the Rings, like the books.
Yeah.
Like that. That's not even.
Made Lord of the Rings, it'd be like that nowadays.
I don't think Lord of the Rings would be made well by anyone other than Peter Jackson and Steven Spielberg in his prime. Like, there's not that many, and Denis Villeneuve, like, there's really not that many people who can make a Lord of the Rings.
I'm glad you said it in his prime, because we saw what happened when Peter Jackson, and this is not talking about the social stuff, you saw what happened with The Hobbit.
Oh, yeah. Well, The Hobbit is a different conversation, because he literally got The Hobbit and got, like, the last minute, and he had to make make 3 movies.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, shit. Wait, wasn't the fucking Wheel of Time on Amazon?
Yes.
God damn it, fuck you, Amazon.
Yes, and we saw
oh, my God. I swear to God, I swear to fucking God, if you came for my Fallout, I will walk to California and punch somebody in the goddamn feet.
This is why I'm surprised that Invincible hasn't been fucked up by Amazon yet, you know?
Dude! Oh, my God! Okay, like, yeah, no, like, Amazon has fucked up everything it's put its hands on. I'm nervous.
You should be, you know? No, the Hobbit movies were... Okay, Puffin Cloud, if you like the Hobbit movies, that's cool, but they're fucking awful.
They were just... Even if you like it,
real quick, just want to answer him. Well, publicly, they were not that at all. The word you used, they were not that at all. Admitted, they were just bad. They were just horribly, terribly bad.
Yeah. If anything else, can we at least admit that they're horribly paced? Like, there is nothing good about getting 80% of a way through the movie and being like, hey, you know that fight scene that we started? We're going to wrap that up next time on Dragon Ball Z.
I tweeted this out years ago, and I still think it's my favorite tweet ever, right? It was my reaction to the Hobbit movies, right? The first, you know, Hobbit, the first one, right? My reaction was a gif of The Rock standing up, standing ovation, like, this is awesome. The second Hobbit movie is a gif of Will Smith going, huh? Then the third one, it was a gif of Seinfeld going, throwing his hands up and leaving the theater. It started cool. I was happy to be back in that world. And then it kept going. And it kept going. And it kept going.
And the longer it went on, the more you became acutely aware that something was deeply, deeply wrong.
I could read the book faster than I can watching all three of those movies, man.
Yo, Tony, I have a question. Yeah. Since we're already on the sidetrack. Yeah. What did you think about Peter Jackson's King Kong?
I liked it at the time, but it was kind of long.
Yeah, you know what it is? You remember when they made that extended edition of the film?
Mm-hmm.
Just don't look at the first disc. It literally is the skull. It's the skull Island part, and it's always the stuff to the end where he's in New York. All that other setup stuff, it's garbage.
By the way, fun thing about that, in the original King Kong, right? They filmed the scene where the explorers got trapped in a pit with like giant tarantulas, right? And they removed it because it was too fucking disturbing, right? For the new one, they added a similar scene. And I'm like, oh yeah, I get why this, that is one of the most disturbing fucking scenes I've ever seen in a film, man. Like just
being murdered by giant bugs. They're getting murdered by giant bugs.
Yeah, it's like, holy shit, this is like, that was like more intense than a horror movie, you know?
Oh.
Well, he does come from horror, so
yeah,
he does.
Scary. Yeah, and the thing is, during that part, there was barely any music, which made it even more creepy, you know?
Oh, no, I will 100% agree. Like, I have played some games that are objectively scary. Like, I've played horror games, I've played all the Souls games, where it's just like, holy shit, what the fuck is this thing? Some of the most terrifying gameplay I have still yet experienced was in fucking Grounded. With the goddamn spiders, Jesus fucking Christ, giant spiders, like, they had that, like, when I first tried that, like, in the game, I was like, huh, there's actually a mode that changes the model of spiders to something that's called arachnophobic mode. That seems a little, like, unnecessary and accommodating, like, how bad could it be? And then I got into it, and I was like, oh my god, when spiders fucking attack you in the dark, it is... So that is like being like, it is like Mariana Trench level of fucking creepy. It is, bleh. And the game's cartoony as fuck. Yeah. Like, it, even then, your brain's just like, nope, that's Spider. I don't care.
Yeah, it's insane. But yeah, Fallout, as I said, if I get confirmation from three people I trust, then I may check it out. That's what I do with modern stuff nowadays. Like, it needs to be vetted first because I don't want to jump into something that's going to be.
I am obligated. To be there.
Yeah, you let me know how.
So I will let everybody know. It doesn't matter. No matter how, like, it can be good, bad, mediocre, I will shout it from the rooftops. You will fucking know because I'm gonna have strong feelings about it one way or the other.
Yeah. I hope it's not the Panderverse. That's all I'm saying. Put a chick in it, make her lay in
the
cave.
You're the Panda Snow.
Oh man.
Can I just take a moment to be like, yeah, if you haven't seen that South Park, find a way to fucking watch it. It is, holy shit, they have not lost it. That is straight to the fucking jugular. That is some of the more poignant South Park I've seen in the better part of two decades. Holy fuck.
I think it's been about two decades since I've seen South Park. So, yeah, good stuff. Last time I saw South Park was the movie. I think that was the last time.
It is genuine. Like, if you haven't seen it, Tony, like that episode, genuinely. Yeah, I've seen the clips. Yeah,
I think it's in a happy place by request. So I'll check it out because I know I'll fucking dig it just from what I've seen. Like that's perfect. That's spot on. You know. Hold on, it's got a message from Danny Pena going, Godzilla is scary as fuck. He saw, and by the way, my timeline, half of it is just for like people going crazy for Godzilla minus one because it's a theater.
Dude, I heard about that.
Are they finally gonna get a general release out of that thing?
Well, it's coming. I said general release. It's a general release in across theaters. It's not like limited or anything.
Okay,
which I think it's the first time they've done that in Godzilla for a long time. Because then they do that for
They haven't done that since 2000.
Yeah, Godzilla 2000, that was the last time they did it for Toho Godzilla movies. Because even Shin Godzilla was limited. This is a wide release, you know? And I like, most of the comments are like, yo, this movie costs $15 million. It looks better than $200 million movies, which is interesting. Well,
I heard there's some sort of, some rough looking sequences in the
it's
film.
It's Japanese. All the stuff,
all the stuff that you see in the trailers looks really good. But yeah, there's a couple of like, ooh.
Yeah, but even the stuff in the trailers, you could tell it's like, oh yeah, this is a Japanese CG movie, you know, or CG effects. But you know, you kind of get it. But anyway, I got my tickets. I'm ready. I can't wait, man. Cannot wait. It's going to be fun. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Good show tonight. Speaking about Invincible, you could go check out all of our Invincible episodes over on the Coalition, where we discuss just four episodes of the show, because that's all we got the season, you know, or half a season. But we were very happy. We did an hour-long discussion on episode four, which was dope as fuck. Again, it's like, Amazon, don't fuck it up. Don't fuck it up. You know, yes, Robert Kirkman is helping to write, and he's like, yeah, we're just doing what's in the comics, but, you know, you never know, right? But it's good. It's good so far. So yeah, go check that out over at thecoalition.com with a K. Carlos, what's going on with I Am Negan's?
Yeah, I Am Negan is a show about all things The Walking Dead. And last week we finished up Fear the Walking Dead. It's over. It's finally over. We can finally live our lives, happy lives, because that show was not good.
Oh,
Mr. Richard Bailey Jr., Adam Vale. Host the show. We talk about all things The Walking Dead. Yeah, Fear the Walking Dead is no good, man. That was one of the worst endings I've ever seen. Next up is going to be the Rick and Michonne show, which is going to be at the beginning of the year. So make sure to stay tuned. I Am Negan on thecoalition.com, The Coalition with a K on YouTube, and all your podcast apps.
Yeah, good stuff, man. This was the last normal show of the year. Next week, we will have our Game Awards live roast, as we do every year. That'll be starting at 8 p.m. We're going to come on earlier, though, just the pre-game things, always.
We're gonna be there.
We'll be here for all 3 hours, or however long this fucking thing lasts.
Oh, you know? My God.
It's so long, you know? But we'll be here. For the bad kind, you know?
Here's the thing. I will say that show is much more bearable with us roasting that shit.
Yes.
Seriously. It's always
the best part. Show sucks, but hanging out is cool.
Hanging out with everybody is the highlight of it. So we hope that all of y'all will hang out with us and roast the shit out of that show too.
Yes, exactly. And then after that, we'll have the end of the year special, where we go over the big gaming news of the year and all the games that came out and what we're looking forward to. And then obviously the final episode of the year will be the AMA special, man. Those are always fun. So stay tuned for that. And then, you know, we're going to go on our little two week hiatus for the year, recharge the batteries, and come back at you next year with another load of episodes. And next year, we will be celebrating episode 500 of both episodes, so both shows. So stay tuned for that. 500, you know? By the way, kind of fun, right? When I first started Throwdown, one of my goals was to have more episodes than all of the other, Bitbag podcasts put together. We surpassed that. Now we have more episodes than the Warzone, you know? And just before we hit episode 500, we're going to have more episodes than all of Torrance's previous podcasts combined. So Throwdown, we've been doing this. We haven't stopped. No breaks, you know?
And we have over 10 years of Throwdown.
Yep, pretty much. So, yeah, next year will be the 10-year anniversary of this version, you know?
Yeah, it'll be the 10-year anniversary of this one. Yeah, so it'll be nuts. Maybe we'll do a sexy Throwdown logo with a 10-year dealie on it, like our boy, Khalif did.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, that's right. Spawn Army. They've been around for a minute, too, you know?
Yeah, so his show has been around a little bit longer than the second iteration of the renumbering of the Throwdown.
Yeah, so good stuff, man. So yeah, that's a lot of stuff coming up as we try to finish up this year, man. It's going to be good. Anyway, you can follow Throw It on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You can also find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show, throwdownshow.com. To listen to past episodes. And if you've been watching us on YouTube and like the videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Monjoma.
I cannot wait until March 22nd.
I don't know what's happening March 22nd.
Dragon's Dogma 2.
Oh shit, it's coming.
Mm-hmm. It's real. It's happening. Yeah, so I probably won't be on that show, or if I am, then I won't be listening.
Understandable. Understandable. All right, people, we'll see you on Sunday, man. Later.
Peace.
Laters.